All right. Hello and welcome everybody to the live version of the NDL podcast. We're excited to be here tonight. It's a big night in the NDL. And Jason, I think we're just going to talk about the SEC the whole time, correct?
Yeah, because that's what we apparently do. If people don't know, this is the SEC podcast. It is a weekly podcast all about the Southeastern Conference, where we dive into tailgating, sundresses, and everything, you know, God, tea, and the SEC.
Speaking my language, even though it's sundress season is over. No, we kid. We are
sundress
here
season
to...
is never over, sir. Yeah,
that's true. And if you're from the South, it's not. You are correct. No, welcome everybody. We're excited to talk about the college football playoff. We have our first rankings. We're going to do the show live, and then of course we'll talk about the reactions to the rankings. We'll talk about the top 15 because that's what we have going on for this ranking, and then we'll talk about the bracket, and then of course, like, you know, the reaction to everything and the conference races and whatnot. So live show, excited to do it. Jason, are we ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Bear with me while I pull up our first bracket. I'm gonna have to share my screen. It's always funny, like when you're on a call, like for work.
It feels like a Teams call now.
Let me share my screen. Just give me a second here. I'm gonna have to do this. Okay. There we go. You guys are gonna see my DMs as well. So we'll go to the bracket, and I'm hoping you guys can see it. I don't know. Jason, can you confirm? Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can see your screen.
Okay. Awesome.
I don't know why you have so many tabs open with porn there, but I can see your screen.
All of them. Whoever's not on mute, please go on mute. Thank you. And Jason, if you can find who that is, that'd be great. So we will start with our number one team. You can see the Kansas Jayhawks. No surprise here. Coach Jiggy has lost one total game in the NDL. He is off to, I believe, another 8-0 or 9-0 start. And off and running, no surprises here, right, Jason?
No, I mean, defending champ, unbeaten. You know, there's arguments to be made for both him and Baylor, but again, as I've discussed in the live chat, we're going to get a showdown between the two of them next block, so, you know, it's going to get decided on the field. We're going to find out which one of them is number one.
Yeah, we'll move on to number two in the rankings, South Carolina, another, I think, non-surprise, the leader in the clubhouse in the aforementioned SEC. Coach Metro had a great season last year, got the upgrade, came to the SEC. He is killing it so far this year. No surprise here as well.
No, I mean, he's got a good team. He's done really well with the team that's not one of the best in the SEC, which I think is the most impressive part of that.
Move on to number three. I think maybe a little bit of a surprise this season. Maybe not. Coach Wildes has been absolutely methodically taking care of business this year. He's won pretty much all of the big games on his schedule. I won't call him cupcakes, but he's got some pretty favorable matchups down the stretch to finish it out. You got the number three seed, Iowa, coming out of the Big Ten. I guess give us your take or your reactions on Iowa, Jason.
Yeah, if you can get Iowa scoring almost 30 points a game, then you're doing something right.
Yeah, and then a little bit of a surprise here at the number four seed. We'll continue down the list, but number four here, Memphis, coming in as the top seed, I guess, as a conference leader. I was, you know, a little surprised. I thought maybe we'd see an ACC team here. Are you surprised to see Memphis at number four?
No, because when you're talking about the fact that the top four seeds have to be conference champions, you know, right now, SMU and Miami are leading the ACC along with NC State. They all have three losses, so there's not much argument there. Considering Memphis has got some big wins, they just beat UAB by three, which is a big win to help them on the schedule as well.
Yeah, only lost currently to Oregon, which was a two-score game. Kept it close. It was on the road. But, not surprised here. I thought maybe we'd see an ACC team, but no one's just really standing out. We'll go through the next few seeds. You got Baylor at five. I'll go over to number six. You see LSU. I think a lot of people wrote off LSU early. Number seven, you have Alabama, who's gotten some big wins, a couple close losses as well. The 8-9 matchup, you got Florida at 8, Cincinnati at 9. A prime example of this committee getting the rankings put together and then a team losing. Before we unveiled the rankings, I think Cincinnati just took a loss. So this was done prior to that. Coming in at number 10, you have Kentucky, who, again, stumbled off the start as well, but really hot. I think winning 6 in a row, maybe 7 as it stands. And then Notre Dame at 11. Not a surprise there, but you know, I think Rain was in the top, you know, I guess 5. He was 5th all year last season. And then our group of 5, number 12 seat, would be San Diego State here. So, Jason, I'll turn it over to you. What do you see out of this bracket? Are there any big surprises, anything that stands out right off the bat?
Yeah, so first of all, just to answer a question in the chat of where the hell this ACC followed up by you thought the top four had to come from a power conference. So it's the top four seeds have to be conference champions. It doesn't mean that they have to come from the power four schools. So you have your four power four, and then you have the top conference champions from the group of five. And just like in real life, you have a situation where Army could be that top four seed if they get in over a ACC team, which is a very real possibility this year if things kind of play out the way that they might. In terms of the bracket itself, you know, LSU, you mentioned that they kind of came back from a rough start. Same thing with Kentucky. You know, beginning of the season had a really bad loss, and they've roared back, got some big wins. We've talked about with the SEC cannibalize itself, you're seeing the exact opposite. In fact, you're seeing the ACC do that. I think right now there are, including my team, which has no chance in hell of doing it, you've got six teams that are between 5-2 and 7-3. So we're really just cannibalizing ourselves in that conference, which is why we don't have anybody in that top four right now.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, in my opinion, you will see an ACC team in here, whether it's the next reveal or even at the end. I would be hard pressed to believe that a team that comes out of that conference, unless it's just absolute chaos the last few weeks, which it could be, I would think you're going to see a team come out of there. One thing that stands out to me is you actually have two group of five teams in here. You have Memphis and San Diego State, and I'll scroll over to the rest of the rankings and how it shook out as well. Little surprised not to see Oregon in here, you know, sitting at 9-2, a couple early losses as well, just like Kentucky and LSU had one early. I thought they would maybe crack the top 12 here, get into the bracket. But again, you know, those two wins came after the committee met to get them to 9-2. And I think they're sitting in the driver's seat. They're going to need a little help out of the Big Ten to get into that championship game. But we talked about it earlier, like being third in the Big Ten might be the best thing. You have someone in Michigan State right now who is 6-1, but 6-4 overall, and will probably not be considered for this bracket unless they get to that conference championship game and win it, which could really raise some hell, I guess, in this bracket. So a lot of great matchups, man. It's like I want to see some of these games play out right now. I think you see Florida up at number 8. They've kind of been a little quiet. You know, I know he's been on vacation and out a little bit. But, man, a lot of great potential matchups here as we move forward. So
yeah, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, why is the SEC getting so many teams in? Look, we talked about in the preseason, strength of schedule is going to matter, especially with it being a human committee and not just a computerized. And, you know, you look at some of the teams in there. South Carolina's strength of schedule, a 600 record. LSU has played, their opponents are 49-31. Florida, 36-32. Kentucky, 43-32. I mean, this, a lot of these conferences are cannibalizing themselves, whether you look at the ACC, you look at the Mountain West. The SEC teams are not doing that as much because there's a lot of teams with a lot of really good wins, and so it kind of balances that out. It's going to be interesting to see over these last two blocks who gets whittled down, because you have some big games coming up between those teams at the top. Have we met our SEC talk quota yet? Did we lose you, RB?
All right. I think I'm back.
This is where we go to, this is, I was going to say, yeah, this is where in the radio break. Business, we go to commercial break. That's right.
All right. I'm back. I don't know. Something went crazy with my mic and static. I am back. Where did we leave off? Then we left off at the SEC.
Well, I believe the next thing, I was asking if we'd met our SEC quota yet.
Also,
I believe we have a couple more things to unveil.
Yeah, we do. So I'll go over to the next page as long as y'all can still see my screen. Sorry about that. That'd be funny to listen to on the re-recording or the replay of the podcast if you're going to listen this week. But it's going to be kind of tough to see. Bear with me. I'll see if I can zoom in a little bit here. Yes, I can. So you can see here the bracket at the top. Here's the committee's top 12, and then, of course, their first few teams out. Now, again, Jason kind of explained how it works. It is not actually the four power conferences that make the CFP. It's actually the top four ranked conference champions. So,
DK, please mute.
The joys of a live show. So you can see here the rankings 1 through 12. And you may notice a couple teams at the bottom. You have Georgia and Colorado who are not in that initial ranking. But you can see how the committee actually ranked them 1 through 12. And then you see the first few teams out. You have Texas is the first team out. You got Iowa State, the second team out. The third one is Utah, which, again, just dropped an upset game. So that's going to probably change a little bit. And then you have the fourth best conference leader in Memphis, and even the fifth best conference leader in San Diego State. So they don't even have, I mean, I guess you could tell from the bracket, but they don't even have an ACC leader or potential champion ahead of those two teams. Jason, I'll turn it over to you. Your reactions from this?
We're storming. It's going to be January 6th all over again.
Make January 6th look like a cakewalk.
I mean, it does surprise me somewhat because, you know, SMU strength of schedule is 42-36. Miami's 47-26. I'd be curious to see if it's the fact that maybe some of us don't in the ACC. And when I say us, I'm not including myself because, yes, I'm 5-2, but I've been very fortunate in some of my wins. I'm wondering if it's a lack of wins at a conference because I think that might be what's hurting Miami, for example. You know, lost to Florida. Doesn't have a big out-of-conference win, so all the wins are coming within the conference. It's just a question of, is the ACC being undervalued? I think the ACC is one of the tougher conferences in this league, having played some of these guys. But again, you've got guys, you know, getting hot and cold. Florida State's figured things out. They're on a roll. NC State's figured things out. They're on a roll. Chase down at Virginia Tech has figured things out. So it makes me wonder if they're just being undervalued as a conference.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting point. I mean, at what point does the committee value, or will they value, not being critical, but I mean, Miami's two losses are to two teams who are in this bracket, and both by one score. So I mean, it's hard to be like, oh, well, that's a great loss, right? Like, you got to win games to make the college football playoff. But it just makes me wonder how close they are in this list. Are they 16th? Are they 17th? Maybe that's an answer we can get from, you know, some people at another time. I don't know if we're going to bring anyone on today to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, it breeds the question, I guess, Jason, in your opinion, like, what does the ACC have to do down the stretch? Is it just, hey, one team needs to take off and win all the games and separate themselves? Or I guess, how do they crack into this?
Yeah, and Block's talking about in the chat about, you know, Memphis and San Diego State being up there. It does beg the question, you know, at what point does strength of schedule matter and big wins matter more than a record? Because it San Diego State's had a great season, but you know, you look at his schedule, he doesn't have any major out-of-conference wins either. And so it begs the question, at what point is a 7-2 or 7-3 or 6-3 ACC team not better than a 7-1 Mountain West team that hasn't beaten anybody out of conference? I think those are things that the committee is going to have to answer going down the stretch because, you know, it's just like in real life. I think you have to look at not just the record and not just the strength of schedule, but who have you beaten? And I think people that were that go out of conference and take on bigger schools should be rewarded for that. If you're a, you know, in my opinion, if you're a team from the Mountain West or a team from Conference USA and you go 11-1, but you haven't beaten anybody out of conference, do you deserve to get in over a 2-loss team from a power conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's the human element too. I mean, I see there's some things here that kind of show the reasoning why or where they're at in the rankings, but it's like the human part of it, and I just got to call it what it is. I'm not saying the committee is looking at this or valuing this, but you know, San Diego State did win in a huge cup game against South Carolina. I don't know if that matters. I don't think it is factored in.
I don't think it should. I don't think it should.
It probably shouldn't, but at the end of the day, we're all human, and I think, you know, things like that can influence a little bit, even though the committee may say, well, no, hey, we're not taking that into effect because it's a cup game, right? It's not the regular season. It is a separate tournament. So, yeah, I don't know. It's something that maybe, again, we can get some clarity on, you know, from our committee leader, Six, or from a committee member, if we can get someone anonymously at some point, just to kind of share, you know, what goes into this. But, yeah, I mean, I'll kind of, we'll put a bow on things here. Maybe this is our fault, Jason. Maybe there's so many SEC teams because of us, because we're just so biased about it.
That's all we do. That's all we talk about. Just means more.
But I mean, I'll kind of put a bow on this. I think the comment that was made yesterday that I can kind of see now is like, we haven't really talked about the Big 12 a ton. We talked about the Big 10 and ACC last podcast. And, you know, I thought we'd talk about the Big 12 and SEC today. I think we'll just stick to the Big 12 and maybe the ACC since we're on it. It's a hot topic right now. But I am seeing three teams out of the Big 12 in here. Or is it four? No, sorry, four teams out of the Big 12 in this first ranking, and then a fifth team that's just on the outside. Now, I think, you know, Utah and Pat may fall a little bit after that loss. But, yeah, let's talk about the Big 12. I mean, how many teams, Jason, realistically, do you think can make it out of the Big 12? Is it just Baylor and Kansas, or are you giving anyone else a shot?
No, I mean, the tricky part about that is if nobody in the conference beats those guys, then who do you take along with them? Because I feel like in order for somebody else to get in, one of these teams has to get a signature win. You've got a bunch of teams in behind them in Cincinnati, Iowa State, Colorado, Utah, that are all kind of similar teams and they all have kind of similar resumes. I think one of them needs a signature win. I'd have to look at their schedules more in depth, but it's really hard to differentiate between them. And I don't think you can take all of them and leave other teams out. Again, you know, if the Big 12 and the SEC are claiming, you know, 8-9 spots between them, then I don't know how fair that is to the rest of the league. I think that's, again, where it's going to come down to looking at not just what the strength of schedule number is and not just, you know, well, this team's really good, but who have you beaten? How have you done on the road? Like, to me, things like that matter and they need to be taken into consideration. For example, Colorado looks great, 7-2, but they're only 1-2 on the road. You know, little things like that, I think, need to be taken into consideration to differentiate, especially when you're talking about these power conference teams with how home field advantage play and momentum play into games.
Yeah, I mean, you can see in the notes here, you know, strength of schedule looks like it's valued, right? I see Cincinnati top 15 SOS, Colorado top 15 SOS, number 2 South Carolina based on Massey rating, strength of schedule is the best unbeaten team, next best unbeaten team after Kansas, you know, so it's in there a lot. It just goes.
But again,
to show
I think it needs to be combined with who have you beaten, because.
Yep.
If you're playing a bunch, like if you play four teams from lesser conferences and out of conference and they all go, you know, 6-2 in their conference, well, their strength of schedule is inflated because they're beating lesser teams.
Right.
So I think it really needs to be combined with who have you beaten and where have you beaten them. I really think teams that schedule tougher out of conference need to be rewarded more. And I think the other part of this is if you look at some of the conference schedules, especially when you get into the ACC where you have 17 teams, you get into the SEC where you have 16 teams, one schedule is not the same as another.
Right.
You know, a 7-2 team A in Big Ten, or 6-2 team in Big Ten play is not the same as another team that's 6-2 in Big Ten play, because those games may be one team may be playing the top eight teams in the conference, the other one may be playing the bottom eight. I really think you have to dive deep, and I'm hoping these guys do, especially as we get closer to the end, to make sure that we're looking beyond just the strength of schedule number and the overall record.
Yeah, it's a good thing to note, right? Like, this is the first ranking. Let's not overreact too much or go too crazy.
Please don't take this as me ripping on anybody or saying they're doing it wrong. Right. I'm saying
yes.
People have questions, and this is a live podcast. It's kind of cool to be able to see questions coming in real time. You know, these are real questions. When I see six teams from the SEC, it's kind of like, yeah, the SEC's good, but no ACC teams? I've played these guys. You know, Dealer's a great coach. Block's a great coach. For a ACC team to not even be in the first three out, it kind of bothers me, because I feel like teams are being overinflated. It happens just like in real life with the SEC sometimes. But when you've got that many Big 12 teams and that many SEC teams, we need to make sure that we are looking at all of the intangibles and all of the data.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I'm looking at the other two, Memphis and San Diego State. Little surprised to see both of them in there. Now, the committee obviously has their reasons and has them where they are. Again, these are going to change pretty dramatically, I'm guessing, in the next few times they come out. But I'm just wondering, like, how close is an Oregon? How close is a Penn State, Miami? I guess, you know, we'll see. Obviously, there's some losses that piled up, like Cincinnati has another loss on their schedule, and I'm guessing Utah is going to fall out. But say you're dropping Utah out of this as the third team out, Jason, who are you plugging in there in your next rankings, or who's kind of that next team up for you?
It needs to be Miami, in my opinion. You know, I'm looking at Dealer's schedule right now. He's lost three games. One of those losses was to Florida by 8 points. One of those losses was to Alabama by 3 points. So if you're gonna say that he's not one of the top 15 teams, but two of the three teams that have beaten him are in the top six in the playoff, that does not compute for me.
Who's that third loss? I thought he was only at two, so I'm
the third loss is Florida State, which at Florida State, and Florida State's he's gotten three wins in a row, and he's charging back up the standings.
Yeah, I think for me, it's Oregon. I think, hate to admit it, but Shell's kind of figured things out over the past few games. He does this. He loses like a game or two early, and it's like, oh, I suck. I'm so bad, blah, blah, blah. And then he rattles off seven in a row to go 10-2, right, and backdoor to the playoff. Shell, I'm on to you.
Sandbag and Shell is what we call him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on to you. I think for me, it would be Oregon filling in that spot. I think you'll see Cincinnati drop probably on that line of first or second out with their loss. And they do have a couple player suspensions that was announced today as well. So it'll be very interesting. The Big Ten, I think, is a very, very good conference. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. It's because I've experienced it. I've lost to some of these teams, Penn State, Oregon. Like I said, Michigan State is 6-1 in the conference. Now they're out of conference is going to be a tough argument, but they could be a team that really gets in there and causes some issues with a conference championship, if that may be the case. So, we'll kind of wrap up the CFP talk. Jason, I don't have the chat up. Are there any other comments or questions that we should chat about, address, or just anything to kind of wrap up the CFP reveal?
Yeah, some folks were asking if we were getting a top 25. I mean, you got to remember this is a group of guys that have a lot of stuff going on, so we can't get them all in a room like in real life. So we're just doing the top 12 and then the next three out. So right now we're just getting the top 15.
Yeah, great question. Maybe something to consider as we get a little bit deeper. Love to see this bracket, some interesting matchups so far. I mean, you got Bama and Kentucky. I mean, some of these teams are even going to probably play each other. in conference play or conference championships as they roll out. So, and I know we're staring down the barrel of a Kansas and Baylor matchup, which will probably affect some seeding as it goes. So, yeah, that's the CFP reveal. Let's dive into, I guess, the rest of what we're...
Do we want to hear from the chairman?
Is our chairman on with us still? Is he still available and in the room?
Yeah, I see him. I don't know if he's yeah. still here, but he's lurking. There we go.
There we go.
I'm still here. Yeah. If you got questions, ask them.
The first question I would have is, you know, was there discussion about an ACC team? And if so, what was the reason that they got completely left out?
So there were discussions about ACC teams, specifically Miami. You had one committee member really go to bat for them. Unfortunately, they were just the odd man out this time. You have to remember, this was just only up in for the first 10 weeks and up until the point of when we took all the Massey rankings and the standings at that time. We didn't take anything after that. So at that time, Miami was 6-3. They had just came off the FSU loss, and they were just the barely on the outside. So they were probably that next team up.
So Massey ratings were involved in the discussion and with everything that was looked at?
Yes, they were. So those strength of schedule ratings you see there, those are not record based. Those are Massey based.
Yeah, I noticed that in the comments and the notes. And for those who can't see, it's 6 feet, Coach Six with us talking college football playoff. Man, if I feel like I'm on the radio right now. He is giving us some insight on what goes on. Question from me, Six, is how does this call or this discussion go? Is this something where like everyone just kind of submits who they, I guess, quote unquote, are voting for, who they think are the top 12, and then it's a discussion? Or is it just kind of, hey, let's go around the room one by one and just hear your cases or hear who you have in what spot?
That's pretty much so what we do is we start at the first team and we go around the room. We do get into a room and we basically go, okay, number one, who's number one? Everyone goes around saying who their number one is. If there's a disagreement, you know, like say we have, you know, four for one team or four for another and like a couple of others have different things or whatever, then everyone goes and starts, you know, saying their case. And then until we're all swayed into a 3/4 unanimous decision, then we go with that team. And they become the number one and so far, and then we continue on down the list.
Is there any arguments? I guess if there's anything you can't answer, just tell me to shut up and F off. But is there, not like arguments, but does it get a little like, oh, I disagree with you? Or is there any like pushback, come out?
There is pushback. In fact, we'll get like two teams down past a thing, you know, and then someone will come and say, hey, I still think this one should be further up and stuff like that. So there is discussions. Not everyone on the committee agrees, you know, unanimously with each other. But if we sat there and tried to get all 11 guys to agree exactly on the same team, we'd be there all day. So we don't do that. We do 3/4 of the committee has to agree. And once we get that 3/4 number, that's the team. I mean, these guys got other things they need to do. And we're not trying to spend, you know, five hours.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, we go with a 3/4 decision. And once we hit that number, even if some guys still disagree, well, they got to then fight for that team, you know, for that next spot.
Yeah, so a couple questions coming in the chat. I'll pull it back up. Couple questions coming in the chat, Six, that maybe you can enter while I'm pulling it up. The first one is how many members are on the committee, which I'm sure you've posted, but just for everyone here.
There's 11. So 9 of them are nominated by the conference commissioners, and the other two are at large. So we have 11 total. Now, we will not be revealing who these guys are until after the last CFP.
Yeah, I was going to say, Block, they are a Mountain West one-loss team, not a two-loss. But obviously, it begs the question, you know, what's the committee value? So I'm just pulling it back up here for those who maybe jumped in late. I believe Homie will also be posting this on the website, and we'll get a picture put up here on the Discord as well somewhere. But this is how the bracket shook out from the first committee. Jason, any other questions, I guess, to ask Six while we have him?
Yeah, I mean, with you, you've got four different teams in the Mountain West that are 7-1, 7-2, 7-3. What made San Diego State stand above those when Colorado State is 7-2 and has a better strength of schedule?
So, So when we did the two conference leaders, basically we took all the teams that were conference leaders who weren't already in the top 12, and then they were ranked against each other. Memphis was considered the highest ranked, you know, in terms of the committee. They believed Memphis was the best team. And then after we removed, after we took Memphis, we then had to remove UAB because UAB is in the same conference, so that automatically took them out of the running. And then we took the ACC and all the other conference leaders, and there was like, what, four teams for the ACC? I'd have to look. But mm-hmm. then we did that, and they basically said they thought San Diego State. Now, it wasn't unanimous. It wasn't like going away. It was close, but they gave San Diego State the next one.
Over Colorado State?
Over Colorado State, Miami, NC State, any of those teams. They were
the reason I'm specifically asking about Colorado State is they're 7-2. Their two losses have come to Kansas and Colorado.
They've
beaten Arizona, who's 6-3, and I'm just looking at their schedule and looking at San Diego State, and it's like one of these teams has played a much tougher schedule. Granted, they're one loss more, but for me, now, that's the top team in the Mountain West.
Now, did Colorado State, I don't remember, because did Colorado State have all these games in?
Yeah, already? Yeah. These are all before week 10 or okay. through week 10.
Through week 10, and none were played over the weekend?
No, not that I can see.
Okay. I can't tell that to you because I stay out of it.
That's a very good point, and yeah. I want to reiterate that is that Six is on here giving us kind of what happens, what goes on, giving us as much info as he can without, yeah. you know, revealing too much or sharing, I guess. And yeah. he's also not on the committee as well. So just for yeah. those out there that are commenting in the chat.
So I don't make any decisions, guys. I don't do the voting. Once we're done with all this, these guys can come on the last show, I guess, and you can yeah. ask some questions directly.
We'll get all 11 of them in here together.
Right, yeah. or we'll just get a few, right? Or you could just get a few, whatever, right? But the yeah. point is that I try to stay out of it. The only thing that I'm there for is to take the meeting notes. And I set the groundwork of, hey, guys, this is only the resume for the season, mm-hmm. okay? We're including, like, what they've done, you know, everything they've done on the field. We try to take out as much bias as possible. We don't include the cup. Now, if teams okay. are equivalent, like equivalent resumes, like really close, and their strength of schedule is really close, who they've beaten is really close, we think their teams match up close, then stuff like history and who the coach is and stuff like that will be considered just like it would in real life, right? But the first thing that's first is how you perform through the season. And that's pretty much the groundwork of all I do is like say, hey, this is what we need to do. And then after that, it's all up to them. I step away. I just take notes. They discuss it. And then I write down why they chose which team. And then we disperse it to the rest of the league.
And Pat makes a good point that, you know, it was only up until week 10. So, of course, I think we've seen a lot happen in the last couple of days. Jason warned us about this a couple of weeks ago. It's just up until Saturday night was the results that the committee was dealing with. I think someone asked the question, Six, I don't know if you can answer this or if this is for somebody else higher above us, even all of us, is will we get access to the Massey ratings? Will those be posted at some yes. point for the entire league?
Yes, so for what I understand, Homie is supposed to release that tonight after the show.
Okay, awesome. It's good to know. A couple other things. It looks like, yeah, Nidler, great point. This is the first reveal, right? And some things are probably going to get ironed out and both on the field and through the committee. But this is a great start to our first reveal of season 30. I guess, Jason, any other questions or anything else to comment on?
No, I'm curious to see, you know, how the rankings look next week, if any of the things that we've discussed get worked into the discussion in the room. Obviously, I want to, you know, want to obviously say thank you to the guys that are doing this, because I know this cannot be easy, especially with 11 voices and not being in the same room with each other. But yeah, I mean, these are questions that everybody's going to have, and I'm hoping to see, you know, either an explanation on some of these next week that dives a bit more into it, or that we kind of see some changes in these rankings.
Yeah, I guess I have one other thing. Six, you mentioned that, you know, you take after you set the bracket, I guess you will, you take the other conference champions, the conference leaders, if you will, and you said you had Memphis, San Diego State, and then Miami and a couple others. Are you also, is the committee also stacking up like everyone? Is it the Sun Belt? Is it Conference USA? Like, are they also putting those teams in there just to do the full process?
Yes, that we don't leave anyone out. Now, it obviously, I don't mean to be mean to any conference here, but obviously, if your conference leader does not look like it belongs,
right,
they're going to easily get excluded right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, because they were outside of the top 15, as you could see there, all the conference leaders was taken. That includes even the ties, right? Like, you know, right, like I said, the ACC has like a 4-way tie right now. And they were all pit of who out of all these conference leaders is the best team, because we're taking the best teams in the rankings, right?
Right.
We're not saying, you know, well, you know, whatever, we're taking the best teams. So they basically said out of all these teams, they think this is the best team resume rise so far this season. And you have to remember, guys, this is so far this season up until that point. And then they said, and then, like I said, after Memphis was taken, that automatically threw out UAB, who's also in their conference, which was on the list. And then they said, okay, now out of the remaining teams, who's next? And that's who they, and that's what they went with. So, and remember, it's up until that point of where we decided to stop, because we can't, it's hard to constantly be looking at stuff, right? You know, who you beat, who, you know, was it on the road? Was it who, when did they beat them and all this? So at some point we had to say, from this date, this is what we're factoring for these, you know, first 10 weeks. So anything that happened after that, it was, they had to like kind of ignore, even though it might have happened in that first 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard if you're in a room with 11 other people to constantly be going, oh, well, this dude, you know, did this after, you know, after these guys have already spent time doing their research and bringing their notes and stuff to the
right
to the meeting.
Let me ask about, there's a team that we have not talked about at all that is undefeated, and he is a great player, great coach. Where's UConn in all of this? How are you putting them, how are you stacking them up as an independent, even though, you know, they aren't the Notre Dame? But I'll just shut up there. I guess, where do you put UConn in all of this?
So UConn was mentioned, and they were brought up. Unfortunately, the biggest knock against them was that their strength of schedule was really bad, even though they were undefeated. And I believe someone also mentions, I forgot some of the other mentions, but that was the kind of the main thing, was that their strength of schedule was pretty weak.
Yeah, they're
UConn does not have a
signature
win.
Yeah, and they're coming in the chat as well. You have ULM, who I think is like 4-0. So, sorry, going to take a little time for them to catch up. But then they also have Louisiana, Raging Cajuns, two other undefeated teams that I'm guessing that were stacked on that line, if you will, with the other teams that were kind of scratching to break into the playoff ranking. So
that is correct. And they were.
And see, that was one of the things that I was kind of mentioning earlier about, you know, a team's strength of schedule number isn't necessarily the end all be all, because, you know, guys are mentioning the fact that the Mountain West is stacked. Well, if you look at just the ratings or the records and the strength of schedule, sure, but it's because there's four or five teams that have good records that are all playing each other, and it elevates their strength of schedule. When you go to their actual schedules, I'm not seeing any signature wins. And, you know, some of these guys have losses to good teams, but you haven't beaten anybody. And that, for me, is where the disconnect comes in of, you know, Mountain West teams being valued so much higher than an ACC team that has a signature win, or one of these other schools that has a signature win. That for me, is the part that I'm having trouble reconciling. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how the rankings look next week.
Yeah,
especially with some of these guys playing each other, and they're going to start cannibalizing, and it's already started to happen with some of the results we've gotten this weekend.
Yeah, I'll bring a real-life scenario into this. I was listening to sports radio here in Dallas with Rhett Lashley on there from SMU, and he was just saying, like, same thing, like, why isn't SMU getting love in the CFP? And he made a good point. He's like, listen, all we got to do is win. If you just win games and you show, you know, that you belong and that you're taking care of business week in, week out, it's probably not going to matter, right, where you are right now. So it brings the same point with the ACC. Like, I think someone is going to answer the bell and win some games and stand out. And right now, I would say the teams that could do that are, you know, just spitballing here, but Miami's one we've talked about a lot. I haven't seen Georgia Tech's results lately, but they were a team that's up there. And then you don't forget about Virginia Tech as well. I know Chase has had a couple losses. And if I'm just an idiot and not looking at the standings because my page won't load and I'm off on recent results. But I think someone is going to come out of that conference. I don't think it's more than a one-bid league, unfortunately. Sorry, Jason. I know you love the ACC. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think someone is going to come out of that conference. I missed SMU as well. Sorry, Block. You've been very active in this chat. Welcome back, by the way. So, yeah.
I think as the SEC kind of whittles down, we're going to lose one or two of the SEC teams as well, which will open the door for some other teams. You've got Florida and LSU that are both playing each other this block. You've got Texas that has a bunch of games to get caught up on. They've got to play Georgia. They've got to play Florida. They got to play Kentucky. So, I mean, those are games that, you know, if these teams split these games, we're going to see those six SEC teams whittle down to four, possibly even three.
Yeah, someone had a good one here. Undefeated ULM versus Louisiana. Week 14 berth on the playoff, or for the playoff on the line. that would be quite interesting. There would show us some theatrics for sure. I guess I didn't see this until just now, but Memphis and UAB playing a very close game. That result just coming through a little bit earlier today. You have Memphis taking care of business 45-42.
That was the one I mentioned earlier. So that's that's going to play a big role in that, which Memphis was already in. I think that just helps them.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're coming up on 8:20 Central, so about 9:20 Eastern. I think we'll kind of wrap things up here. We appreciate you guys coming in. Go ahead.
Yeah, who are we going to curse this week?
Oh, great. Yeah, I was going to ask if you had anything to end.
We
got to
curse
yeah.
somebody. Couple yeah, teams.
Let's scroll through it here. Well, I cursed Utah because I talked about Pat on PTI and was like, oh, don't sleep on Utah. And then he gets knocked off. So that's another victim that we got. Let's see here. Let me scroll down and see who I can curse. Very interesting to see.
Block said curse the entire MWC.
I mean, it very well may happen here. You have some matchups that are coming up. A couple top 25 matchups. UConn ranked 15th in the coaches poll, and they were still pretty far on the outside looking in. I'm going to curse Miami. Sorry, we kind of already did. I guess he lost already, but I think that's a team that we've just talked about a lot here. Is Miami? They're going to lose another one right when he was starting to get hot.
You know, I guess my curse is going to be for South Carolina because I was looking at schedule. Based on schedule, I'll be shocked if they don't run the table. Their remaining games are at Texas A&M. Against Vandy, at Missouri, and then a game against Clemson. And, you know, none of those teams are teams that right now are playing the way that I think you have to play to beat the South Carolina team, because South Carolina is not just winning. They're winning convincingly against some good teams. So, I mean, 31-17 over Alabama was a statement win.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be fair, and I don't think this game is until next block, or maybe it's this one, but Kansas and Baylor. You can't really curse either. Like, that's not even a fair
one. We can. Our Venmos will be posted here shortly, and we will have a podcast. We will have an emergency podcast on Friday night so that whoever does not pony up will get the curse.
Yeah, has that game been
announced? Holidays are coming up. We need some money.
Has that game time been announced? Do we have a setup? I mean, that might be one of the first one versus two matchups, obviously, that we've had since the reboot, but in a long time in the NDL, in the regular season. Obviously, usually in the championship, you get a one versus two matchup.
Now, you know what's going to happen.
We're going to curse them.
We're going to curse both of them to losing before, because Baylor's still got a game against West Virginia that is open, and Kansas still has a game with Iowa State. So we've just cursed them to both lose this week.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State just with a massive win, too, against Cincinnati. So, yeah, guys, a lot of ball to be played.
Baylor just said November 30th.
Okay, so we're still a couple weeks away. They got Colorado. Oh, yeah, Kansas got Colorado and Iowa State. So, yeah, a lot of really good games, guys. Huge matchups. A lot of results are going to come rolling through here. I guess that's really all I have for the show, guys. I really appreciate you coming on. I know some of you guys are still asking questions. We will post the graphic on the website. We will get you as much information as possible, and we'll put this thing on Spotify as well. So if you joined late, you can catch the beginning, the reactions, the takes, and all the fun stuff. So Jason, I'll let you take us home.
Well, I was going to say, I want to put one last curse out there. I think this Utah team is primed to upset Colorado. So that's my upset for the week. I think Utah is going to pull it off. They're going to win by four touchdowns.
Actually, guys, I do have one more announcement to make. This is an exciting one, so I hope a lot of you didn't just leave. I probably did a terrible job of teeing that up. So one of our sponsors, his name is Rain TKO on Discord. He actually paid for an ad today in our podcast. So this ad is brought to you by Rain. I'm going to read what he sent me so you guys are aware of it. He said, the NDL Blitz is back. Games will no longer be reported to Rain. Instead, NDL Blitz is officially launching as a fully functional addition to the NDL website. You will be able to see your most recent games, your Blitz standings, and your complete standings, which games are in your Blitz eligible, or sorry, which games are in your Blitz eligible games, and more to come. This will start soon. It doesn't have an entry date, but NDL Blitz is back. You will get one entry to a $50 PS5 or Xbox gift card per, I think you get one entry per Blitz game paid. You will get five bonus entries for every victory over a coach that finishes top 10 in the NDL Blitz. So if you have wins against top 10 guys playing, that's a thing. They will have a new Blitz champion. There will be a layer competition called the Great Turkey Hunt. Not exactly sure what that means, but I'm guessing it has something to do over these next few weeks around Thanksgiving. But yeah, sorry, I probably butchered that a little bit. We'll post some photos, and I think Rain will also come out with an announcement here. But I'm looking at the pictures, guys. It's pretty cool. I can actually probably share it on my screen again. Actually, why don't I do that so you guys can see it? And really just maybe read the message yourself. So I don't have to, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. I want to roll back real quick. You said we got paid.
If you win, yes, you get paid.
No. You said we had a sponsor.
Oh, no. That was a joke that Rain was buying ad space for.
I don't believe podcast. You. I want my cut.
You want to see? Yeah. So here you guys can see the NDL Blitz on the website. It's not live yet. I'm pretty sure it's going to go live here pretty soon, but a lot of testing went into this. A lot of hours and work went into it from Rain, Holmy, a lot of other guys. Sorry, I don't have the full list of who worked on this. I'm sure JD had some stuff to do with it as well. But you can see here, it's going to be a cool standalone page. I really hope this doesn't make the website slower. slower than it already is, Jason. But you can see here, I'll kind of scroll through the pictures. There's going to be stats, scores, profiles, rules, you know, all NDL rules apply. Obviously, gameplay applies, 35-point rule, everything. And then I'll just scroll through here. Again, you can see offense, points for, points against. I'm thinking it's just team stats, and you don't have to do all the player stats, obviously. But yeah, this is coming to a theater near you very soon. Just going to be a really cool addition in lieu of what we're already doing. We have the cup, we have the season. It's a lot of fun stuff that we're doing. But you know, I think a lot of us who really love to play the game are going to get to play more and kind of get rewarded for doing so.
Yeah, this is an awesome addition to the league. You know, a lot of guys want something to do when they don't have any games left, or they've, you know, they can't get opponents to set up.
Any last final words?
Oh, can you not hear me? Can you not hear me? And for guys that want to continue to play games when their games aren't available. And, you know, big props to Rain and Homie and everybody involved for doing all this. And again, I know we've done it, we've said it before, but thank you to Blake, to Homie for all the damn work he puts in on this website that makes the league what it is. And we would not have the league that we have without his work. And yes, RB, your mic cut out again.
Damn it, my mic cut out again. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I'm having a lot of issues today.
I was talking and you're like, Jason, you got any last words? Jason?
Yeah, I think it's this room. I think this room is maybe not built to handle as much audio and everything, whatever. You guys are probably going to get some really bad static noises on the re-recording because it's recording off of my computer and headphones. So apologize. You're also probably going to hear a lot of noises of people muting, coming in and out, and all that. So yeah, apologize, but we're working with what we got. This was a live show. Great show, by the way. Thank you guys for taking the time out of your Monday night to go through this. And yeah, long live Homie, long live Rain. Appreciate you guys for doing everything you do. Want to shout out the NDL Game Day crew as well. Been awesome addition to this league. Tim putting a lot of hours into this thing. And really just everybody who's been engaged and giving us a platform and responding and reacting and chatting. It's been really fun. So I appreciate that. Damn, AU Chase calling us out for the long-winded Southern goodbye. All right, we'll end it, guys. Appreciate you joining. Have a great week. Get your games in, and we'll see you next week.